Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane. This game is over. How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, the guys people are talking about when they discuss monkeys and footballs, Chris and Case.
Hey, Idaho Lions fans, welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. This is episode 262. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, the Riz. He's giving you the stare down. How's it going, Riz?
It's good. I look better in that picture than I do currently.
Yeah, it's okay, my friend.
We had a little bit of a technical difficulty with our Zoom meeting. Chris updated his software, and it made it so he can't capture my beautiful mug on camera and stream it at the same time. So I sent him a still from Myrtle Beach last year, and God, I wish I was there right now.
Oh my God. Your hair was on point too, man. This is a good
fit. I had a great hair day. It was nice. That's my daughter in the background.
Very nice. Beautiful. All right. Well, we got a great show. We're going to talk about Tua, talking to in the draft. Look at KJ Hill. He's the guy I put a video out yesterday on our YouTube channel, and definitely work worth a look. Also, we're going to pay our respects to the XFL. It's been announced today that it is going away.
Another no more XFL.
Yep. Got Dead that gum. And a whole lot more. Got a great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on the Patreon. A very special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Very first donor, Mathis, Brian B. from I Prevail. All those guys are part of the party here. Why? Because they went to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, joined the Patreon crew that supports the show. Really, really nice. You could join there too. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as $1 a month will get you in. And the donation goes directly to the show to help us do this stuff that we do and hopefully fix the video issues. I'm going out of focus now, Riz. It's all completely off the rolls. Off the rails. Help us join the Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You'll get access to the Slack chat, which is
now you're clear.
The most intelligent chat, Lions chat on the internet. No
question. It is. And you know what? We got a little off topic there for a couple of days on that. We've dialed back into football talk only for the last couple of days. It's been very nice. It's been
pleasant. Yeah. Well, it's been easy to get off topic with everything going on today.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Do we all get stuffed peppers? Soon, Michael. Soon. All right. Don't forget, that's patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram, you can see the sweet stuffed pepper video. Draft party. Draft day, cuisine, I guess. Great video we put together. I did it for work. I thought I'd share for the heck of it. That's it. Detroit Lions Podcast on Instagram. Also on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast. The very best place to see the Riz.
With no bonds.
Did you like my peppers, Riz? Did you like the peppers?
I did. I'm a huge stuffed peppers fan. And what's crazy is I'm the only person in my family that likes them. And I'm typically like the guy who doesn't like things. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the family does. So
there you go.
I'll make those when my wife is allowed to leave the house again.
Yeah. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get in all the information and notifications when our stuff goes live. I noticed I didn't put the peppers on that one, because I didn't want to bother football people with pepper talk. So there you go. Rate us iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, wherever you find us. Give us that rating, the 5-star review. That's forever, and we love it when you do that. Thank you. Also, you can give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Call us on the Lions line at 929-335-4667. It's 929-33-LIONS. Leave us a message, and we'll get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
right? It's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this weekend, right? And the first thing I have to talk about is the draft party. You know, the draft this year is going virtual. They're doing their thing there on the NFL, and we'll be watching it. We'll be there. We're doing our virtual draft party. We were so far ahead of the game, Riz.
What's this? Y'all are like pioneers, baby.
Fourth annual or fifth avenue annual streaming live draft party. You think, you know, I hate to put you on the spot, Riz. I don't think you guys are going to do your radio party.
I have not been roped in. I know that we are not doing what we had planned to do. We had a draft party planned. We were going to be at the Folling Warehouse on 28th Street in Grand Rapids once again. Mm-hmm. But that is closed. So I assume that I will be home for the first time for a first round since 2012. Ooh. This year.
Maybe.
I lived in Houston then. And the last year I lived in Houston, which was the Ziggy draft, that was in Las Vegas.
You know what? Do you want to reach out to Big Drew and Jim, see if they want to join?
I will certainly coordinate with them. I will be on with them a couple of times next week. So I will be in touch with Big Drew shortly.
Maybe we could do another five-headed monster run.
That'd be fun.
Day one of the draft. That'd be fun. That'd be a good time. All right. It'll be interesting. Yeah. See what it says. Maybe we'll put something together. These things just happen, right? These just right out of the way. So join us for the draft party live. We will go live as the draft begins, and we'll be there for every pick of the first round of the draft. It'll be me, Case, maybe Riz. Who knows? Maybe Big Drew and Jim too. We'll see. And then day two, Sandman and I will be doing the rounds 2 and 3, and maybe another plethora of friends will come join us. We'll see how that all plays out. So check it out. It'll be DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It's also, if you go right to our YouTube channel, you can find it there. And join us for that live draft party. If you're looking, you can't go out, you got the COVID, you could stream the draft. That's fine. But you could do it with us. We're your friends. It's the
live. I will be involved on Friday night. I will definitely commit to being on Friday night. As you know, Saturday, the third day of the draft, is my favorite day of the year. It's my Christmas. It's my Thanksgiving. Because I know those guys more than most of the people who are talking to you about them on TV.
Yep.
I'm not even gonna humble brag about that. I'm just gonna brag about that. And it's fun for me to go through and see, and plus it's rapid fire, it's a nice pace. I just love it. I might do something on Saturday that day too. But Friday night will certainly be fun. I will have a few cocktails in. Of course, I do have to write while they're being picked. Yeah, for the teams that I cover, we have to put three separate things out within about the first 20 minutes that they're picked. So that's fun too.
That's a lot of key punching, buddy. Yeah. All right. So that's the draft. Don't go it alone. You know, you're doing enough alone these days. Join us for our party, and we will guarantee you a great time. Yeah, no Honolulu blue, just the silver highlights in the beard. I gotta get some coloring in there or something. I don't know. All right, we're gonna move on. Salt and pepper, right? We're gonna talk a little bit about Tua. There's a lot of stuff that's happened this week with the Lions and Tua and the draft, and we can kind of tie all these into one big thing, Riz.
There's a lot of different loose ends there.
Which thread do we want to tug on first?
let's say he had a pro day sort of today, released video of it. He looked like quarterback throwing to people who were running in it almost looked like an indoor like roller rink or indoor soccer stadium.
Yeah.
Didn't really look like a football training facility. There were an odd amount of people there, and apparently he did or might get face a citation for violating his county's social distancing and group gathering because I guess he didn't maintain that, and the sheriff has been alerted. So we'll see what happens with that. It's a strange time we live in.
Here's a guy who's going to be on probation with the NFL before he even gets in the league.
I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah.
Social distancing probation.
Oh, my goodness.
He cannot step. He's going to start his career not being able to be within 6 feet of people. That's going to work great. He's always going to be in the shotgun. Sorry. That's stupid.
So,
it's really dumb. I'm sorry.
It really is. It is. So, so he threw the ball to receivers. He looked fine. That's what every pro day ever has looked like. Pro days, by the way, are completely worthless for quarterbacks. Watching them throw is pointless. Mm-hmm. So what he did today was trying to show, and this is Lee Steinberg, his agent, who I have to admit, I know I've attended one of his parties before. He's a good dude. I like Lee. I think amongst the top echelon of agents, he's probably the straightest shooter and probably the most honest. And him and Buss Cook probably have the most integrity of any of those guys.
Very nice. High praise.
But This is a complete dog and pony show. It's a Tijuana donkey show, basically. There's no point to it. Yes, exactly.
I've seen those in person. Well, not
it's pomp. No,
sorry, I greased my zipper for nothing that day. Go ahead. Okay.
Did Johnny Ola show you where
it was? I'm just doing terrible jokes here. I've been inside for too long.
I know we all have.
Oh my god!
It's not even 3 o'clock yet. I haven't had a beer yet. It's So the point is that he's trying to show that he's healthy and can move and can throw and can hit a moving target, and that's great. It doesn't show that he's. I mean, the thing that we saw with was that Jameis Winston who had somebody throwing like a speed bag at him.
Yes.
Well, he was, that is one of the stupidest things ever. And by the way, he looked really stiff doing that. But at least there's something like coming at him.
Right.
At least the guy who's there, who's 6 feet away from him, could have like thrown a broom at him or thrown balls at him or something. You know, had one of those motorized mannequins that they have out at Allen Park, sweet.
Right,
the motorized tackling dummy, you know, at least have that like come at him a little bit. No, it's none of that. So I don't care. I don't think the NFL cares that he did this. The NFL is not going to change its position. I've said this several times now. They need their team doctors, the Lions team doctors, the Chargers team doctors, the Dolphins team doctors, the Redskins team doctors. I can't think of any other teams that would be interested in him at this point. Their team doctors would need to get after and check it out and say, hey, let's see you flex your hip. Let's see you rotate your hip around. Let's test these high ankles. Let's test this surgery that didn't work the first time for an injury that never needs surgery.
Right.
They're going to want to know these things, and they can't get that information right now. So it's nice that he's out there throwing. It's nice that his agent is doing his job for him. But that's all it is. There's nothing to it, really.
I'm really surprised that these guys aren't able to go to the doctors for physicals, though. While I understand, you know, a lot of hospitals are full. I mean, that's the one reason why. If everyone wears a mask, I mean, they're doctors, for God's sakes. They understand the protocols, right, to not spread disease and germs and all that kind of stuff and stay clean and healthy and sanitary and all that. They should completely be able to do those physicals, especially a league with the money that they have. They have team doctors who are hired by the team. If they're not out volunteering at the hospital, then fine. Let them run the physicals for the team. If this is something that is beyond the normal or the realm of caution that I would expect is needed for this kind of thing. Those physicals, they should be able to get those done. Yeah. And it's really adding a layer of... So here it is, right? When the CBA changed last time, the Lions got hosed because they had drafted so high in the draft so many years in a row. Every time something like this happens, right, the Lions are on the losing end of it. And I just see right now, I just staring at me like a long abused Lions fan. I just see us getting killed because we didn't get physicals. And all of a sudden the entire first three rounds, four rounds of the draft are laying on the sidelines and,
So one of the things that you can do by that is you can go to the people who did get examined at the combine, mm-hmm. which Tua did not.
Right.
Like other players that are coming off of injury, Antoine Winfield is an example, the safety from Minnesota who would look fantastic in the second round. I don't think he's going to be there, though. And I actually want him in Cleveland, so don't take him to Detroit. He cleared his exam. He got poked and prodded, and they're like, okay, this is what you are. For it's not just Tua though. There's Marcus Bailey, the linebacker out of Purdue, mm-hmm. is in a similar situation. He's the guy that the Lions will consider in the later rounds, day three, but he can't get cleared either. This is a guy who tore his ACL. I want to say it was the first week of November. It might have actually been earlier than that. So they can't really, you know, examine it to their own. It's just out there in limbo. There's mm-hmm. there's a lot of guys that are like that,
right.
And it's frustrating because. When you're going to spend, I mean, a fifth round pick is one thing, but when you're looking at the number five pick in the draft, or if you're looking to trade up from number five or six to number two or three to draft a guy who's going to be the face of your franchise, and he's had the injuries that Tua has had, mm-hmm. Let's just go over for a minute. He's had high ankle surgery on both ankles, and the left ankle did not take. It broke. They wire it through. And the wiring broke. I don't know how in the world that happens. He had surgery for the Bo Jackson hip injury. It's the Rolando McClain hip injury. Mm-hmm. It's not a death sentence, but it's certainly something to be concerned with. He had he strained and sprained his patellar tendon in his right knee, and he has broken and sprained his right wrist, which is not his non-throwing wrist, which is one good thing for him being lefty. Dude gets hurt a lot, is the point.
Yeah.
And now you can't look at him. You got to tell me that I got to make that kind of a risk. And here's the other part of that coin, Justin Herbert. Dude's never hurt. Dude's reliable. Yeah. He's 6'6". Tua Tagovailoa is Johnny Manziel sized. There's a lot there that's telling you that maybe there's a lot of flags that are like, they're not red, mm-hmm. but they're like orange and waving and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Small craft advisory on the lake there.
Yeah, it's a gale warning. I'm thinking about this though, and this is, so there's a lot of talk this week. Bob Quinn had kind of thrown a little bit of smoke into the mix as well. And I think this is where, you know, irrationality, right, becomes the cause of the day on day one of the draft. And teams are looking for that, like you said, that franchise player, that franchise quarterback, and they're not expecting to get another chance to pick this high again.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So they do some crazy things like trade everything for Mitch Trubisky, right? Cool. Instead of Patrick Mahomes. They do silly things. And I think, you know, Quinn is just adding to that. All this stuff with Tua, my brain 100% agrees with you, and I'm sure all these GM brains agree with you, but where they start getting messed up is when that heart, right, and that we're not going to be picking this high again. Are we going to ride mediocrity with XYZ quarterback, or are we going to get the quarterback of our future? I mean, we already have XYZ quarterback. We can bring Tua in, and maybe we get, right, they start convincing themselves, and I really believe that that's still on the menu this year. As much as and as smart as we think we are, we've seen Bill O'Brien work.
Oh my God.
We've seen
let's not go down that god awful rabbit hole. Oh my goodness.
We've seen a lot of GMs work in very, very unpredictable and odd ways. I would not take Tua out of the realm of possibility that somebody trades for him.
We can't rule it out, because like you said, that We've seen weird things this week. We saw the Rams have to sell off people because they're paying Jared Goff $37.5 million. They're paying Jared Goff almost double what the Lions are paying Stafford. And it's cost them Todd Gurley, who by the way only signed for $3 million. Don't feel bad for him though, because he's getting paid $20 million by the Rams.
Yeah, he signed with having no knees. So that's good on him.
Yeah. He did pass a physical, though. They were able to somehow – this is the part of not being able to get the physicals. And I know I'll go to Cleveland here for a second, because they had a press conference this morning. The GM came out, and one of the questions was asked. They signed Carl Joseph, the free agent from the Raiders, safety, who is coming off of a foot injury that had surgery. And they have not officially signed him yet because they cannot logistically get a physical done with him. They're – team facility is closed. Like they can't get into Cleveland Browns headquarters. Everything's doing that. I don't know if the Lions have done it, but I do think that Allen Park is closed at least until draft day. I know that they're not there now, and I don't know if they're going to be not there on draft day or not. I think Coach Patricia said that they were working on the logistics where somebody could be there, at least to be like in a central location to like coordinate all the IT and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's all that's going on there.
Well, that's becoming an issue, the whole IT thing, right? Not wanting the IT guys in the house, setting them up.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Big brother's watching, you know?
Well, I think they're worried about the virus, right? The IT guys don't want to go into the house, the team.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. House. There's the personal end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. We'll see how that all goes.
Crazy.
Someone was saying something in January about Tua's injuries raising concerns.
Who could have that been, Chris?
Trying to think. I think it was Risden. That guy.
We've got numerous clips of it. I can't. There you go.
Thank you. I had to give you your due.
I can't believe that people didn't see this coming, quite honestly.
Right, right.
You know, that all of a sudden it's an issue now? Come on. I'll give Lance Zierlein a little bit of credit from NFL.com. He is a radio host in Houston. A really good draft guy to follow, by the way. And he doesn't give out inside information much. When he does, it's good. He, by the way, is the person who told me that the Lions were going to take Taylor Decker in the first round.
Really?
The day before that draft. He's like, it's either Decker or Kelly, Kelly, the center for Indianapolis. And I bounced those two names off of him like a week earlier, and he came back. He's like, it's going to be Decker. Okay.
All right. So let's think about this. I mean, we've got the Dolphins, the Chargers. They're looking for quarterbacks.
Yes. All right. So Joe Burrow's out of the equation at one. Nobody's trading for one. Stop.
Right.
No, it's done.
yeah. Now, where are the Colts? Because I'm just trying. Oh, they're way too far down.
They don't even have a first rounder anymore.
No. So that's
they're out. They gave away 13.
So you got Tua and you got Herbert. Really,
right?
No one's going Jordan Love.
God, I hope not.
So,
I really hope not. But again, you can't rule it out. I mean, EJ Manuel went 16th overall. He's better than EJ Manuel.
Yeah. So you got the Raiders at 12th, right?
Now, they are interesting because they do have multiple picks in both the first and second round.
Right. So they have some treasure to give. Buccaneers, no. Niners, no. I mean, so really, you got the three teams: the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Dolphins, and you got really two quarterbacks. Are the Raiders hungry enough? Or do they think that with this move to LA and all these picks are going to get this year, that they're going to be able to ride Carr, right?
Drive that car.
So I
think Mike Mayock strikes me as the type of person who would be very interested in Tua.
Yeah.
And John Gruden really strikes me as the type of person who would be interested in Herbert.
Yep.
And I do see that being a battle in their war room.
Which does create that sense of urgency, though, right? Because now they want to be right. Now they're kind of competing a little bit, right? Even though they're trying to get a quarterback for their team, they're both kind of at that point competing and wanting to be right. That's what happens in those things. We talk about that
escalation. Oh, yes. That happens a lot. And when it goes bad is what you have in Houston.
Right. But and
the GM quits because he can't stand the head coach, and then the head coach takes over and trades everybody.
Yeah. But then, so that makes the Raiders, I think, the wild card here.
They are a wild card. And again, they have the ammo to move up if they want to.
Right. Now, so let's pressure the Chargers off. Do they have the ammo? Right. I want to go to this. Do they have the ammo to move with the Lions? And I don't think the Lions are willing to go back to 12.
That's too far.
Then
you're giving up too much.
So they would
have to make one of those intermediate trades. Arizona is a team that could be interested in moving back.
Yeah, but that's still behind the Dolphins and Chargers. They've got to get ahead of the Dolphins and Chargers. So it's the Giants, Lions, or Skins.
It would be the Giants at 4. And the Giants would do that because they're taking either Mekhi Becton or Isaiah Simmons. I always want to call him Justin Simmons. It's Isaiah Simmons. And if your mock draft has any other player than one of those two at number 4, you're wrong.
For the OG Detroiters. Oh, Isaiah. Those are good times. Good old Isaiah Thomas commercial back in the day with DT Energy. Let's see. Okay, you're right. The Giants, but that gets them ahead of them. So that means then the Dolphins or Chargers would have to move ahead of the Giants to the Skins or the Lions, and that's probably more.
So the only real point here, though, would be if there's two quarterbacks and Washington doesn't take one at 2, or if they don't trade to 2, Detroit's not taking a quarterback. Detroit is not taking Tua, period.
Right. No. We understand.
New York is not taking Tua or Herbert, period. So why trade?
Yeah, that's
that. Why would they trade up if 2 goes to Washington and they take Chase Young? Why would you give up anything to get if you need a quarterback? Now, if you prefer one over the other and you're the Chargers, you'll be like, okay, now I need to move up. Or you're Miami, like I want to make sure that I get Herbert. And I absolutely think that Herbert is their guy. I don't think that they're taking Tua.
Let me throw one more team in at 9, the Jags. Do you think that they have the ammo and the willingness?
Now, see, they're an interesting. They also have the 20th pick.
Yeah.
9 and 20 would get you to 3.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So now we have like 4 teams. All it's going to take is one that really, really wants to move, right? And if this, the Redskins don't want to go, they can go to the Lions. If the Redskins do go, now there's only one quarterback left and 3 teams that possibly want him. They may come up with a treasure chest for number 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Only if it's not the other team between the Chargers and the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. If it's a team like Jacksonville or Las Vegas, or I'm trying to think who else might.
Yeah, I just don't
the see Patriots it. As an example.
Yeah,
I don't know how in the world they get there. Pick,
though I did because
no, because
Okuda and Young are just too big of talents. That's why the Miami and Chargers things work so well. I just think Bob Quinn gets beat if he trades down to 9 or 12.
If you go down there, you're getting a lot of extra picks, and then you're in the range where you're not getting impact talent.
Yeah,
exactly. Because your impact talents in this draft are on defense. Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, and maybe Isaiah Simmons.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's your guaranteed top tier. And I don't personally think that Simmons belongs in that group. I think he's he certainly deserves to be merited in that. Offensively, you're down now where you're taking a wide receiver with your first pick. You're taking Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy. Or CD Lamb.
Which is a need.
It absolutely is a need, and I would not be upset with that. But then you're rolling. I mean, then you're hoping that a guy like Jeff Gladney, who's can't take a physical right now, or CJ Henderson, who can't cover man, or you know, somebody like that is going to be your CB1. Because Desmond Trufant, he is not a CB1. I don't care what people are trying to sell you. He's a very good number two. If he's your number one, you do not have a good secondary.
And I tell you, I hope he proves you wrong, that he plays at number one caliber. But hope is not a plan, man. That is not a plan.
No, hope is not a plan.
And that's the hardest part for this. I mean, literally, it seems like it has to be Miami or the Chargers for the Lions to trade down and still get one of those talents that people walk away satisfied. I mean, look, of course it's ideal because you get extra picks, which we absolutely need, and you can still get one of those dudes for lack of a better, you know, for Wisco word. I just really think that's it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, and it depends how needy these folks are and how hungry they are for those kinds of those quarterbacks. It's going to dictate where things go. I don't see us going as far as 9, though, and I don't see
nine is 12. Too. I mean, the saving grace there could be Caleb on Chason. He's the second best edge in this class. He is a very intriguing guy. There are a lot of teams that value him higher than that, from what I'm told. So that's. One of the fun things is doing Brown stuff. I have to figure out who's going to be there at 10. So I'm like communicating with all these people that are between 3 and 10 as well, and trying to get ideas. It wouldn't shock me if Chason's gone before 10, and that's pushing wide receivers down specifically.
Yeah.
But so the one of the other drills that we did was we looked at where Okuda could go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's pretty clear that he's who the Lions want. Yeah. I don't think that's a well kept secret. I think the rest of the league believes they're taking Jeff Okuda.
Mm-hmm.
So can they get him at 4? Yes. Can they get him at 5? The Giants are taking him at 5. The Dolphins, let's say they stand pat, they're taking a quarterback. They're not taking Okuda, but
they're doing whatever it takes to get a quarterback.
They are. They're taking Justin Herbert there. So then at 6, if the Chargers don't really need a cornerback more than they need a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
then 7, maybe 8. Heck yeah, the Cardinals are taking Jeff Okuda. Yeah. That's as far as he's going to fall. So if you want him, you can't go further than Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. So there it is. And I will just say one other thing. It's we're in this situation. It feels like no matter what Bob Quinn does, people are going to be grumbling, right? I mean, it's going to be ugly. Even if we walk away at Chase Young, there's going to be a lot of happy people, but a lot of people, we needed picks.
Why didn't you trade down?
It's the, yeah.
To draft a pass rusher that's not as good as Chase Young.
Yeah.
Lions, the SOL Lions fans, y'all drag me down something fierce, man.
It's hard. It's hard. It's all about that fandom arc. Riz. I'm telling you, I'm going to have to lay that out more clearly in an upcoming podcast here. But just if you look at the age range of people, when people start liking a team, how this team has performed over time, you're at that cynical phase. You know, it's still ahead of Uncle Eddie, right? But you're at that cynical phase, and the demographics are such that you have a bulge in people certain age who probably started following the team at the same time, and that's where I think you're getting that group that's bothering
those
you
people.
So much.
Yeah. Honestly, if you're one of those people that you're going to complain no matter what they do, go root for another team. You don't need this aggravation in your life. We don't need you. Go find someone else that makes you happy.
But nobody wants to let go. There's this sunk cost, right? That they don't recognize that moving on is okay, right? It's like, oh man, the second I leave, these guys are going to start winning, and then I'm going to look like even more of an idiot, right? The machinations that go on are crazy. It's fun.
Yep, you got to stay with it.
All right, stay with it. Hey, old friend of the show, he's in the chat right now. Mihir Magani, he has a question, and it's a good one. Any thoughts on the impact of the Okuda and Slay video call and their kind of relationship they've been building is having? Do you? And I'm going to ask this because I think this is the maybe the question behind the question, maybe not. Do you think that Slay could be poisoning the well before Okuda even gets here?
That doesn't matter. The Lions won't care about that. They're going to be like, we're taking the best player available, and if you don't like it, tough.
No. I get that.
Yeah.
But if Slay tells him, here, look at this. This is bad. You walk into a situation expecting to see bad things, and then, of course, they appear. How do you react as a player? You're like, oh no, I got to go to this place that my man Slay told me was garbage. You know what I mean?
I think honestly, Detroit has that already. Cleveland has it. Cincinnati has it. There for those teams that if you haven't won in forever or have never won, Jacksonville certainly gets it too because they're not an easy. You get good in Jacksonville, they send you away.
That's
their rep.
That's where
players
to go,
know
be
that.
Good.
Yeah.
If you want to win, go be good at Jacksonville.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So they'll trade you somewhere where you can thrive. Detroit's already kind of up against that, as much as I hate to say it. But, you know, if you haven't won in a long time, that's going to be there.
Yeah.
You want the type of guy who's going to be like, you know what, I'm going to be the guy that changes that. That was one of the reasons why LeBron was so beloved by Cleveland, was because like, I want to be here. I want to be the guy that changes it. Yes, it was his hometown. Mm-hmm. That was his mentality. You see that with I'm trying to think.
Matthew Stafford. He's the same way. He wants to change it. He unfortunately, football, unlike basketball, a single player can't.
Right.
Can't change the game that much. But boy,
there are people just like, and Stafford is a very good example of that, of a guy who's like, I want to be the guy who makes it so they win, to reward the fans, to make it so that franchise, because then it will make me look that much better that I won there. Those are the kind of guys you want. I tell you this, Chase Young is that guy. Mm-hmm. He has that mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know Okuda's background well enough to know if he's got that. I just know that he's really, really damn good.
Well, yeah, and there's narcissism, there's confidence, there's different ways to handle yourself. Chase Young genuinely believes, and this isn't narcissism. This is a guy who's put it on tape, right? He genuinely believes he's the best player in the draft. And
yes.
there's a lot to back that up besides his words. So that kind of confidence and, you know, like he wants to win. He knows and he's already settled. Anyone that's getting picked in the top four or five knows they're going to a losing team, right? They've had to come to grips with that fact that I'm there. I'm going to turn it around, right? Yep. I'm going to be part of the solution to help these people be winners. And you know, you have to do that. You have to do that if you're one of the guys that goes early in the draft.
That's the mentality you want.
Yeah.
I thought of my example for it was Ed Reed when he went to Baltimore. Because he was that kind of guy. He's like, there were a lot of other teams that wanted me, but I wanted Baltimore because I saw where we could go with it and I wanted to be the guy to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
And he did. God bless him.
Yeah. Talking about being high. No, I got to talk about a new sponsor really quick. A lot of people finding the love for the CBD as things have been getting uh, legalized around the country and in all the different states. And my mother-in-law is sick, has some chronic pain issues, and she's, you know, doesn't want to do the opioids and all the other stuff that they've kind of thrown her way. And she was anxious to say, she said, look, she comes from a generation where they would even consider it, right? And she said, I want to try it out. And I was like, well, tell you what, let me see, because I don't want to get you, you know, she's, you know, fixed income, all that kind of thing. I don't want you to get ripped off and that kind of thing. So I did some research and went out and got some and tried it, because, you know, as you age, you start to get some pains. You know that, Riz, you're an athletic guy. You got a different kind of set of pains than I do. But
oh, my God, yeah. Yes.
And insomnia kind of creeps up as you age. So went out, did some research, found some stuff, and like I say, I don't talk about anything on this show as a possible sponsorship unless I believe it and use it. And so we went and I worked with Diamond CBD, got some of their product, and paid for it and checked it out. And I gotta tell you, it's really something. If you have that tinge of anxiety, you have a little bit of trouble sleeping, a little bit of aches and pains, this is stuff. It's not a cure-all. You're not going to magically not feel anything, but it's good stuff, and it makes you feel good. And there's no high. That's the best part. You can function completely normally. That part of it is taken out of it. Maybe some people say it isn't the best part. I don't know, but it's good stuff. they got thousands of products, gummies, pet treats. I didn't even know. Right? There's a whole thing, oils, creams. I did the little tincture, the little oil that you drop under your tongue. And, it worked well for me. I had great results. Check it out. It's Diamond CBD, the people we're using. They've got celebrity endorsements, right, for this. Of course, Tommy Chong, right? Of course they have Tommy Chong gummies, but here's one. Lawrence Taylor, you've heard of him, right?
Yes.
He's one of their endorsers.
LT.
From the Giants, right? He's out there saying how great this stuff is. I recommend you guys try it out. If you're in the market and you're looking for something like this and not sure and on the fence, there's some companies out there that it might be snake oil instead of CBD oil. I don't know. I've heard people had varying results from different stuff. Diamond CBD, best-selling CBD company in America. We made it easy. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It'll take you right there. And always, as always, we get a little kickback. I looked into it. I researched it. It's part of the thing. I wouldn't want to – I don't say I wouldn't want to give so much time to somebody if we didn't get something out of it. but yeah. I did this more kind of empirically on my own, and then checked out that they had that kind of relationship that they could set up. So we did. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com for all of your CBD needs from Diamond CBD. Great stuff, and help you feel better, help you sleep. And if you got a little bit of that anxious going, we can get rid of that too. I'll tell you something that I'm anxious about, my friend.
What is that?
KJ Hill. I like this guy a lot. You know,
you liked him a lot in Mobile.
Yeah.
You came back from that first practice and you're like, who'd you like today? What do you guys say? KJ Hill.
Yeah.
He was good.
He's got a something. Now look, I'm pegging him around the fifth round, Riz. I don't, he's a later round guy, right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. He's not going in the top 20. But this is, I kind of tend to see what I can find in my kind of late round crush. And this guy is really something. I put a video up. It's on our YouTube channel. I put it up last night. It's just the film I shot of him at Senior Bowl. And there's a couple things. One, he does a punt return, and this guy can get really, really low. Okay. He's a slot. He's your slot wide receiver. That's where he's going to play. He can get really, really low and cut hard. And on the punt return, it's really amazing. He heads into the pile, if you will, the coverage, and you see him, and everybody on the screen is moving right. And all of a sudden, he changes direction and comes out heading left, and everybody else is going the wrong way. And he's just got a big old hole that he's blasting through. A couple of the catches he makes, he goes against Metellus, former Michigan guy. He's an Ohio State kid, this KJ Hill guy. I'm sure he enjoyed this rep against Metellus. Came in, cut, and he got 4 or 5 yards of separation on the cut. Got the ball. Metellus was able to take a little sweep at the ball, but no chance, right? It was just a kind of desperation sweep, and he tiptoed down the sideline. It was sweet. Couple of good kind of move the sticks, short passes, but he's got this ability to make people miss, make people fall down. Guys were falling all over the place. There's one clip in there where he makes a double move at the line, breaks free without being touched, and then makes just a single cut in the middle of the field towards the sideline, and leaves the defender face down in the on the field. It's amazing. This kid is going to be. I think I would love him to be on the Lions. I would love this kid. I think he's a great kind of guy to train under Danny Amendola, and I think Danny would be the best guy to train them to train KJ Hill. Bring him up, and if Danny gets hurt like we expected last year, right? Injury's a thing for Danny. Yes. I love Danny Amendola. I don't wish it, but we kind of have to look at some realities. I hope he stays healthy all year, but if he does get hurt and go away, KJ's worked under him for the first part of the year. I think he could do really, really well. The separation this kid gets, and you put him out there with Hockamania, and all of a sudden it opens up your run and it opens up your deep pass. It makes a completely different look for who defenses are going to cover. I think this guy could add a ton to the line. And I know this is your sweet spot. He's later round.
No, man, he's probably a fifth round pick. He did not test all that dynamically, but that's he can play football. And I think we saw that at the Senior Bowl. We saw it on tape in Ohio State games. He can play. He understands NFL route concepts. That they ran a very NFL-friendly offense there. He's worked with Wayne Haskins first. Justin Fields will be the number one pick in the next year's draft. I actually think that he'll either be one or two, him and Trevor Lawrence. So he's got experience catching it with NFL quarterbacks, working with NFL receivers, running, going against, by the way, future NFL defensive backs in practice,
yep,
day after day after day, from Damon Arnett to Jeff Okuda to you name it. Yep. Every cornerback at Ohio State gets drafted. Most of them wind up being pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he, and I like the fact that he can double as a punt returner. And does give you that value. So, if Jamal Agnew goes away or just doesn't have the juice anymore,
right?
Then you've got somebody there to fill that in. A kick returner, although I don't think we're going to see many kick returns in the NFL anymore. it's out there for him anyways.
Yeah. There's a spot. I really, really like this kid.
If he's your fourth wide receiver and can do all those things for you, you're in good shape.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So KJ Hill, check it out, youtube.com/Detroit Lions podcast. He's there. You can see the video yourself. And let me know what you think. He is my late round draft crush for this year. Whoever gets him is going to be really lucky. All right. Last topic here, Riz, and I know this one's a little close to you. It's close to me, too. You have some friends who were there. I have a friend who worked there, but others that were tangentially involved. Came out today. Rest in peace to the XFL. The COVID evidently got them, too. Too hard for them to operate on half a season.
And then they played half their season. They were starting to get really good momentum in some places. Not all their teams were doing great, but it sucks, man. I know a lot of people who put a lot of their life into making that work, and they did it what I was hoping was the right way, and it's really not a fault of their own. Guys like Justice Mosqueda, who's been a friend of mine forever, Eric Galka, who's been a long time friend, was their director of player personnel. I know a lot of guys who covered teams, who worked with the teams, equipment manager from one of the teams. I'm hoping I can get something from him. it's just really tough, to see this die out of their control. I will freely admit, I did not watch a snap of it. I was at basketball tournaments every time that they were playing. That's my life as basketball dad. Yeah. So I didn't see any of it. But I wanted it to work. I was hopeful, and it's another upstart spring league that bites the dust. And it's sad that it's happened. I'm not a WWE guy. I don't really know much about or care about Vince McMahon. But if he's making football that works, I'm all for it.
And they did
some things in that XFL that looked like they had some potential, and they were some of the markets. Columbus, Ohio was their highest rated show on weekends. That there was something there to work with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, it got taken away from them. And I feel really terrible for all the people that lost their jobs today.
I loved what they did. I mean, you talk about the officiating with the when they go up to the booth review, and you watched and heard that kind of transparency. Yeah. Can you imagine that in the NFL? How much credibility that would bring to Al Riveron. River Run Al.
River Run Al. Imagine I'm trying to talk to Cleet Blakeman. Like, huh? What? What's this in my ear?
The things you could learn. The things you could learn.
There's something in my ear.
It's the voices again. Ma, is that you? That's terrible. But
that was really bad. Edit that out.
I can't more live. The thing, the kickoff, that was great. That was something really excellent that they brought together in the XFL. I think there's just so much that they brought, and the fact that they're going away is really, really tough because they're not going to be able to force the NFL to implement some of those things because people are going to very quickly forget about them because they didn't become ingrained as part of, you know, the thinking of how things work. So that's kind of frustrating in that way. It feels like for all those folks that did so much and invested so much of themselves in it, it almost feels like the work is lost now. Right. And that just sucks because they did some really good stuff. And I think that could have been a fun and competitive league. Year two, year three, I think that thing would have just really taken
off. Right. I think they could have made some tweaks to their business model a little bit that would have helped them going forward. They did have enough interest to carry into a second season. It's just the logistics and timing just didn't work
money.
Out.
They had the money to do it, but
they did have they had the venture capital. They did not need like the AAF. They didn't need NASCAR Baron dude to drop $4 million on them in a check that bounced. one of the things that's going away that came up this week, NFL related, the ability to review pass interference has gone away. It was a one year trial.
Never really there anyway.
Well, and that's the exact thing. So they reviewed 124. Reviews of pass interference were requested by coaches. 24 of them were reviewed or changed. Yes, thank you. 13 defensive pass interference flags that were called on the field were reviewed. Not a single one of them was overturned. Why is that, you might ask? Because the guys who were overturning it are the same people who threw the damn flag. They're not going to say that they got something wrong. Of course not. Right. The way they implemented that was so asinine.
Yep.
I hope that it comes back later with an eye in the sky where Dean Blandino can say, hey, that's a penalty. Flag it.
Yeah. I would love if
Dean Blandino came back. Do not leave that decision. Don't let the guys on the field have to decide what their crew did or did not was right.
Yep.
That's a terrible system. Al Riveron, go away with that.
Yep.
Riveron. Independent arbiters, that's the way you get a way to go. I'll volunteer to do it. I'll do it. I'll do it for $1 less than Dean would.
Riverboat Al, because it's always getting tied to the gambling, why these things are like this. He's going to be Riverboat Al Riveron.
Wouldn't be surprising if something comes out there.
Yeah.
You just never know because that has gone away. The NFL is not going to renew that for a second season.
Yeah. I talk about really quick the... You talked a little bit about Vince McMahon. I'm not a wrestling guy at all. I'm not either. The SmackDown would be on Fridays and I'd watch for about 10 minutes and I'd kind of giggle to myself, but I can see where people find it, you know, interesting or whatever. I'm not a huge Vince McMahon fan or hater or anything, right? I'm kind of whatever.
Right. He met
with a lot of derision bringing the XFL together though, a lot of derision. And, well, in the end, he had a really good product. So sorry to see all that happen. I think we wrapped it up really quick. One thing. I want everybody to think about this time while you're home and not running around that you can start kind of paying attention to the classics. See what I got here, Riz? Look at that.
Huh? That is a leather-bound book.
Yes. You get some of the things that really, really mean something in life that can really help you grow. What do you do? Get yourself some hand sanitizer and stay healthy, my friends.
Yes, please.
I couldn't resist. Sorry, I found that thing. It was fun. All right, for those that didn't do it on the YouTube, you probably
I think something else is supposed to be stored in there, Chris. maybe something that you light on fire or a firearm or something.
Oh, I thought you were referring to CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. All right.
There you go. Put it on that tee.
With that, we're going to call it a week. Thank you all for joining us. Remember, the show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. We appreciate your feedback, and we're always working to make the show better. It is a community-owned show, So take some ownership. Get in touch. What else? We don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Like I say, as little as $1 a month gets you into the Slack chat, which is the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. You will love to be there. You will love to hang out with those people. I'm telling you that right now. Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, and follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast. Best way to see Riz making making predictions in January. What else?
Not wearing pants.
That's right. Get freaking sanitizer all over the place.
And just for the record, I am not wearing pants now, and it's like 40 degrees with a 40 mile an hour wind out.
I'm
not going outside.
All right, give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Also go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can pop in your box automatically, your little MP3 box. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.